Another weak point of democracy is the benefits of a specialized society. One such argument is that the benefits of a specialized society may be compromised by democracy, as ordinary citizens are encouraged to take part in the political life of the country. They have the power to directly influence the outcome of government policies through the democratic procedures of voting, campaigning, and the use of press. The result is that government policies may be more influenced by no specialist opinions and thereby the effectiveness compromised, especially if a policy is very technically sophisticated and or the general public inadequately informed. For example, there's no guarantee that those who campaign about the government's economic policies are themselves professional economists or academically competent in this particular discipline, regardless of whether they were well educated. Essentially, this means that a democratic government may not be proving the most good for the most amount of people. Additionally, some political scientists question the notion that democracy is an uncontested good. If we base our critique on the definition of democracy as governance based on the will of the majority, there can be some foreseeable consequences to this form of rule. For example, the middle class majority in a country may decide to redistribute wealth and resources into the hands of those that they feel are most capable of investing or increasing them. Democracies will tend to cater to the whims of the people, who then follow false ideas to entertain themselves, squander their reserves, and do not deal with potential threats to their rule until it's too late to oppose them. Moreover, democracy is criticized for not offering enough political stability, as governments are frequently elected on and off. There tend to be frequent changes in the policies of democratic countries, both domestically and internationally. Even if a political party maintains power, vociferous headline-grabbing protests and harsh criticism from the mass media are often enough to force sudden, unexpected political change. Frequent policy changes with regard to business and immigration are likely to deter investment and so hinder economic growth. Democracy is also criticized for frequent elections due to the instability of coalition governments. Coalitions are frequently formed after the elections in many countries, for example, India. And the basis of alliance is predominantly to enable a viable majority, not an ideological concurrence. This opportunist alliance not only has the handicap of having to cater to too many ideological opposing factions, but it's usually short-lived, since any perceived or actual imbalance in the treatment of coalition partners or change to leadership in the coalition partners themselves can very easily result in the coalition partner withdrawing its support from the government. One of the most important weak points of democracy is minority persecutions. About minority persecutions, please bear in your mind that the constitutions of many countries have part of them that restrict the nature of the types of laws that legislatures can pass. A fundamental idea behind some of these restrictions is that the majority of a population and its elected legislature can often be the source of minority persecutions, such as with racial discrimination. Some countries throughout the world have judiciaries where judges can serve for long periods of time and often serve under appointed posts. Murray Rothbard points out the incompatibility of two goals, democracy and judicial independence. If the judiciary is really independent of the popular will, then it functions at least within its own sphere as an oligarchic dictatorship, and we can no longer call the government a democracy. On the other hand, if the judiciary is elected directly by voters or appointed by the voters' representatives, then the judiciary is hardly dependent. By all appearances, democracy is based on the will of a majority. Everyone is equal and has the right to vote and to make decisions regardless of his qualifications. This means that the vote of an irrational, stupid, crazy, or deviating voter equals to the vote of a wise, intelligent, and experienced man. Then if two insane people collude, they will be able to cancel the vote of the wise man in a democratic system. Moreover, if a rough majority proves a law against the law of God, creator and sustainer of the universe, the faithful minority must accept and respect it. Therefore, the wrong will of a majority will stand firm against the logic and scientific will of the minority and even against the omniscience of Allah. One of the weak points of democracy is moral decay. Some thinkers believe democracy will result in the people's distrust and disrespect of governments or religious sanctity. The distrust and disrespect pervades to all parts of society whenever and wherever there's seniority and juniority, for example, between a parent and a child, a teacher and a student. This in turn is suggested to be the cause of frequent divorces, teenage crimes, vandalism, hooliganism, and low education attainment in societies. It is argued by some people that moral decay occurs when there is no longer a respectable leader who sets high moral standards, and when a politically free environment creates excessive individuality. One of the considerable weak points of democracy is a slow process. As you know, democratic institutions work on consensus to decide an issue, which usually takes longer than a unilateral decision. This means long slow process of democracy. One of the weak points of democracy is the organizational widespread corruption. Corruption in democracy includes many various forms. This is a simple form of appealing to the short-term interests of the voters. Another form is commonly called pork barrel, where local areas or political sectors are given special benefits but whose costs are spread among all taxpayers. Mere elections are just one aspect of the democratic process. Other tenets of democracy, like relative equality and freedom, are frequently absent in ostensibly democratic countries. Moreover, in many countries, democratic participation is less than 50% at times, and it can be argued that elections of individuals instead of ideals disrupts democracy. In the cases of several African countries, corruption still is rife in spite of democratically elected governments. As one of the most severe examples, Zimbabwe is often perceived to have backfired into outright militarism. In some cases, people cast their votes believing that their elected candidate will attain power, but the politicians turn the tide of election in their own desired case. In this way, some wise people argue, democracies are inefficient. Let's return to the holy verse theme of our discourse. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Apostle and those vested with authority among you. From the point of view of the Holy Quran, if a leader gains authority by vote of a majority of people, he is not Ulil Amr, and it is not compulsory to obey him as one obeys Allah Azza wa Jal or his Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Surely, because of the numerous deficiencies of democracy process, as well as the weak points of the elected candidate, the words Ulil Amr do not refer to the rulers elected in a democratic process. Certainly, Allah Azza wa Jal would not enjoin His servants to obey a tyrant, a ruffian, a sinner, a mistaken, nor an ignorant man as they would obey Him Azza wa Jal and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Moreover, if the appointment of the Ulil Amr were made through a true consensus, an election would have to be held for each new appointment. All citizens of all Muslim nations would have to agree on the choice in every election. Studying 1,500 years of Islamic history, we find out that after the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, no such consensus ever occurred. At present, it is impossible to secure such a consensus because the Muslim world has been split up into numerous countries, each with a ruler of its own. Moreover, if every country should elect an Ulil Amr for itself, there would be numerous Ulil Amr at the same time, each to be obeyed within his own country, and the people of one country would not obey the Ulil Amr of other countries. Of course, then, there's the question of allegiance when differences arise, as they often have in the last 1,500 years between two authorities. We then have Muslims killing other Muslims in the name of Islam. But true Islam does not require such absurd behavior which would lead to mutual strife among Muslims. It follows therefore that the Ulil Amr whom we are commanded to obey has not gained his authority by consensus. Therefore, the Ulil Amr are exclusively the infallible Imams whom Allah Azza wa Jal has introduced to His servants by His Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam on several occasions, such as the Qadir Qom Day and so on. The matter will be amplified and explained more and more in the course of Imamology Basics. You are kindly requested to watch the next and concerning videos. Thank you.